This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power.
Yeah. How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars.
Race Wars back in the building. There's another full house in here. White Daughter, what you been up to?
Happy New Year. I've been having a Happy New Year.
Yes, we had a great New Year.
And I've been having an okay Christmas. A little bit of a kidney stone Christmas, but it's not a big deal.
You're Jewish. Why wouldn't you call it a kidney stone Why are you going to put all your bad shit on Jesus?
Because the goyim have blighted me with a stone. And the stone must be removed. And that is on you.
You're right. That's what we do. Well, welcome back. I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you, Daddy.
There's so much going on. We got out a packed house. So let's just introduce everybody. Lance, go ahead with your dumb white face. I see you.
Hello, dumb white guy. Dude, when you guys kicked this thing off, I was nervous. There's so much energy. I feel like the heat was brought. Right. I feel like I'm in it now.
That's right. Right up front.
I wasn't prepared.
It's all downhill.
I wasn't ready for this. I'm nervous now.
No, that was mostly it.
It was good, though.
Tell the people who you are.
My name is Lance Weiss, and I live in New York.
Yeah, so you're a comedian?
Yeah, well, depends.
Now, where were you from? Where are you from originally again, Lance?
I'm originally from Georgia, South Georgia.
I didn't know that about you. I've known you for years.
The coast of South Georgia.
Yeah, that's what it is. Welcome back, Nick.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, introduce yourself to the fans.
Hi, my name is Dion Nichols. I agree that the heat was brought. I don't even know where to go from here. But
it's scary, right?
I hear some twang on Dion, too. Where you from originally?
Why don't you guess?
I'm hearing something on there. Lance, you can hear anything Southern?
I think like Virginia, D.C. area.
Yeah.
Wow. Not even close.
No. Okay.
Are we talking Midwest?
No, let's go up north.
Whoa.
Really?
So I'm actually originally from Montreal, Canada.
Oh,
none of us saw it coming.
Boo. Fucking boo.
Okay, we didn't know that.
Canadian? How West Indian are your parents?
Oh, my gosh. How did you know?
Oh, I know.
So, yeah. St. Lucian
there
background.
We go. Yes.
Grew up in Ottawa, Ontario, but I think I'm officially now a New Yorker.
Okay.
Over 20 years.
20 years in New York. Whoa. Yes.
Yeah,
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
And what do you do here?
Wow, do a few things. Okay. One of them is a podcast host.
Nice.
Program director for a nonprofit, a financial literacy youth program.
Cool.
Nice.
And I'm a life coach.
Wow.
Okay, you're doing some positive stuff. We look down on that.
But I am West Indian, so that's why I wear a few hats.
You think you're better than us? Making a difference? Introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Sean Linda, and I'm gonna double down on what she just said.
Okay.
And if you can figure out where I'm from.
Are you also Canadian?
I'm also Canadian.
Goddamn Canadian blacks are over here taking our jobs.
Yeah, we speak properly. Sneaky. See that?
We gotta build two walls, motherfucker.
Yep, and just before you asked the question, my family's from Barbados, so yeah.
Barbados.
West Indian.
All West Indian blacks up there.
Yeah.
Okay, who's your man standing behind you here?
My name's Matt. I'm from the West Coast.
Nice. Okay.
I'm an American Negro.
Yeah, I can tell. This nigga know collard greens.
Hey, I know collard greens.
I didn't like the way you said it. I know collard greens.
One of the co-hosts of the Two Black Guys with Good Credit, also a television producer, a lot of hip-hop stuff.
Nice.
I think I know one of your mans, Malik Bowie. You know Malik?
Oh, yeah. We went to college together. Yeah, Malik's my
fucking
mother.
Rap City back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, so, yeah. Small world, that dummy.
You went to college?
Yeah. Surprise, man.
I can verify. I've seen photos.
He can prove it. I did it, mama. Well, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you.
Brando?
Yo, I'm Brendan Lemon. I'm a comedian. I'm originally from Detroit, out here in New York now.
Okay.
We're cousins. You're right across the border from us.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's right over.
A lot of guns go back and forth over there.
Tons of them, man. Wait, you said you got to make money doing something in Detroit. Sorry, you said you're from Canada. We didn't get what you do, I don't think. Did we miss that?
So I co-host the podcast, Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Okay, I see,
You caught it.
I got you.
He caught it, you know.
Now, how long y'all been doing the podcast?
About 4 years, maybe now, 4.5 years, yeah.
Now, y'all got good credit. You're black.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
How did that work? What kind of magic you use in Harry Potter?
To be black? Well, I just came out. I don't want to tell that secret. Did you? You put it out there?
Lance was taking notes. Look at what you do?
Yeah, so, I mean, we just started a podcast basically trying to teach financial literacy in a way that we thought would be cool, kind of similar to your show, just the way that people can relate to. We didn't want to be like a typical finance show that kind of is kind of stuffy, so we just kind of wanted to be loose with it. And the name was really just about, you know, to catch people's attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny when people laugh, I'm like, you know, what are you laughing at?
Yeah. I get all my financial news from this podcast.
Do you now?
Yeah.
Now, did you go to school in Canada?
I did. I went
what
to school.
What school?
I went to University of Ottawa.
And you grew up in Ottawa?
Well, are you surprised, bro?
No, I'm not surprised.
Look, you give me that
I'm
dead just, look.
Because I want to know what it's like to grow up in Ottawa being a what? You fucking 6'3", black dude.
I played hockey, too, junior 8.
I know you did. You had to. What else did you play? There's some fucking ice everywhere.
Exactly. I was going to say, we had skating rinks in our backyard. And yeah. It was just, wow. It was natural.
But I also breakdanced, too. You know, I was that guy as well. So, you know, don't think I'm that brother, okay?
Okay,
I play both sides of the fence, bro. Very well.
Holy, the grassy high. This guy's on fire. So did you start doing the podcast there? Or?
No, here. I've been here 20 plus years.
Okay, so you've been here for a minute.
Yeah.
Now, when you go back to Ottawa, when you go back up there, how different does it feel to you guys?
Cold.
It feels colder than you remember?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's a bone chill kind of cold. Oof. Yeah.
And you went to high school there?
Yeah, what's elementary school, all of it.
What
yeah.
high school you go to?
I went to Colonel By High School.
Colonel By?
We were known for volleyball.
Colonel By.
Yes.
What war did Colonel By have? Boo, nigga. Fucking boo. But Colonel By High School, now was this all black school?
I was usually the only pepper in the salt shaker,
really?
Usually, yeah,
right.
In the class.
Now, how was that? Like, how was that? Was it a culture shock for you? Did you come there as a young person or were you born there?
I was born there.
Okay.
So it was pretty normal.
Yeah.
But then thankfully my parents, we were grounded in our roots, in our
right.
Caribbean roots.
Right.
So I used to get the best of both.
Then some of your white friends used to come on and be like this, what's your mother cooking? What's the smell is that?
Oh yeah. <they're> like,
what kind of season is this?
Oh yeah.
And you went to the prom there too?
You know what? We didn't do the prom. There was like a little nucleus of us, and we just couldn't do it. Yeah, like we did our own thing.
You ain't deal with that white band.
Fair enough.
Wait, the school did a prom.
The school had a prom.
The black kids ain't go to it.
But you
don't
want
to listen to Nickelback
what?
All fucking night. You're white Nickelback, Canada.
It's a different mindset up there, to be honest with you. Like, for example, like one of my closest friends, his name was Frank Manson. He was listening to this. His dad was, you know, a white guy. They owned a chain of drugstores.
Okay,
and
I'm in.
I grew up in the projects, and Frank would, like, sleep at my house on the weekends. You know, you're not going to really see that.
Right.
So, it's a more open thing. I call it the country of mulattoes. You know, there's a lot of mixing going on.
Yeah.
And it's more, like, open.
That's perfectly racist
perfect for
the
you?
Show. Let's throw around mulatto.
Just hung in the air. You know?
So, I grew up in the complete opposite. South Georgia, white people, black people, Mexican people. That's right. It, period. And pretty separate.
And no, who ran the fucking Chinese restaurant?
We didn't have
Mexican
one.
People.
There's no. I don't know if there is a Chinese restaurant in my town.
There's
really?
Always yeah. one.
No, which town did you grow
That's
up in?
Incredible.
In Georgia?
It's called Brunswick, Georgia, mm-hmm. right on the coast between
yeah.
Savannah
Good
and Jacksonville.
Two metropolises.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was very, very segregated.
Was it?
Yeah, still.
Even still, if you go down there, definitely, for sure, yeah.
See, I grew up in the opposite. Detroit and Metro Detroit was like one of the most diverse communities. Like, just in my hometown, we had mosques, Sikh temples, Jewish temples, every kind of Christian church, like all these, and everybody was just all kinds of people were just all over, like high school, friends with everybody, tons of different West Asians.
Where was this?
This was in Metro Detroit.
Okay, yeah, right out. Oh, yeah, outside of Iraqi town.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Dearborn, highest population of Arabs outside the Middle East. So,
wow. But good hummus. Yeah.
Great hummus.
Yeah.
Basha hummus, my friend. Basha hummus is the best.
You got zero hummus in my town.
Oh, man. Are you really white people down there then?
I mean, parts of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any Jews?
I didn't meet a Jewish person until I was 18.
It sounds like a utopia.
Like
so you like read about them?
No wonder. You guys are so poor down there.
Yeah.
Face. So how do y'all feel about this whole Iran thing? Because I think that response was pussy, and I think they could do better.
Iran's response?
Yeah.
Don't say that.
I mean, nobody
They're
got...
listening to this show.
I know they are. That's
you
what
are
I say.
Your little shit starter.
They can't do, more than that.
Slide this
though.
Way a little bit. It's because that camera's on. Yeah, there we go.
They can't do like more than that, though, because Trump is just... Trump is so... Here's the thing. Trump is so crazy, he would do some real shit. And like, he would actually blow up their cultural sites. Mm-hmm. I think they believe that.
But that's a, you know, that's a war crime. But is it affecting the financial markets? Do y'all find that? Does it affect black pockets at all? I don't think so.
I think it's too early to tell, to be quite frank. I mean, I think, you know, somebody asked if it, you know, do you think he's doing it for political reasons? I think every decision is political reason. Everything is strategic and behind it. So
there you go,
I think
meddling in our fucking politics.
I am, man. I think, you know, he's deflecting. He's like, all the media is now focused on that. They're no longer talking about the whole impeachment thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he gets his moment, you know.
They wag the dog?
They wag the dog.
Yeah, gotta wag that dog sometimes. What are you making faces? What are you thinking about?
No, that's what I was thinking. The art of distraction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
1 minute he's impeached, next minute.
But he's still impeached, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, business goes on.
It's technical.
That's like with Clinton. Clinton was impeached, but he still kept working. Still kept getting blowjobs.
The attention's diverted because people want their attention diverted.
Like yeah,
we don't care. The consumer is really us. So if they've managed to divert our attentions because that's what we actually want, and we buy more deodorant when we're talking about Iran.
The Golden Globes are great.
The Golden Globes are.
They distracted me for a couple
minutes. Everybody knows the end game. He's not going to be impeached.
He's already impeached, but he's not going to take out of office.
He's not going to lose his job. He's not going to be taken out of office. You know, it's not going to pass the Senate. So, you know, it's everybody knows the end game.
Yeah. But wasn't Power on that night? I think we need to revoke more black cards.
Oh, yeah, I ain't watching no Power. I don't want to see no rapper producing no shows. I ain't in for it.
Mm-mm. Question, do you think people consciously want to be distracted, or do you think they just...
100%.
Or just
rocked
to sleep,
you know,
and
what?
They don't know that they...
Being distracted is ironically a kind of feeling in control, right? Like, I decide where my attention goes, even though I feel powerless to do anything. I feel powerless over the impeachment. They didn't listen to us. They didn't ask us what we wanted. Most people were not in favor of, like, a long, drawn-out, taxpayer-funded thing. Most people don't want a war. They didn't ask us. So as long as I'm not being asked, I'll pay attention to what I want to pay attention to.
Kardashians. I feel like people are just...
It's like changing the channel.
I don't think they want... I think, like, we're addicted to these. We're like rap fans are into mumble rap. Like people are just looking at... Like, nobody... I think they're... I don't think it's voluntary. I think we're just in the Matrix, knocked out sleep. Meanwhile, the rich folk and the, you know, 1% or whoever, the people behind the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, you know.
I think people are awake, but they're just choosing teams and cheering for their teams. They don't give a fuck what the team is saying or what they're just trying to get a win.
But I think that's what they put you to sleep with. They want you to, you root for your team. Meanwhile, we're counting stacks.
Yeah, that's what we always been doing. But is it worse now? Are we going to World War III with Iran? Is the market affected?
But what's your definition of World War III?
A war with more than three countries.
Is it going to hit American soil? Like, is it going to be that kind of war? It's like,
one can only dream, you know?
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm ready to go up here with a nigga. I'm ready to get here. You on Fulton Street, nigga? ISIS, you on Fulton Street? That's how I feel. Not in front of my bodega.
It won't be on American soil. I think for the reason that maybe there would never be a nuclear bomb in the U.S., I don't think. Let's say someone bombed like New York or D.C., right? These are the sites we think of.
Why can't it be there? Why can't it be Georgia?
It could. Well, I mean,
it can't be your town.
It could be. Okay. It could be. I mean, hopefully it's nowhere. but because if you, let's say you take out a chunk of New York and millions of people, any country that does that knows that we're going to like wipe them off the map. So it won't
If they got a million people in New York, though, rents would drop. All have a better spot.
I am staying. I would go nowhere.
It ran just went up. Just went Thanos on New York.
I do think Trump thinks he's Thanos, Tony Soprano, Suge Knight. Like, I think he's just like, he wants to flex.
I actually think Thanos think he's Trump. Trump been Trump before Thanos been Thanos.
Well said.
He's a fucking original.
Yeah.
But I mean, are we going to war?
I don't think it won't be on the U.S. because we will take out a whole country if we lose a million people here. Now, there could be bombs in the U.S., right? Maybe a bomb goes off in Boston.
What about cyber war? That still can affect the shit right here at home.
Listen, I'm not an expert on this.
They've already been fucking with dams in New York State. Remember that? They fucking fucking with the dams.
That's what's more likely.
Opening up dams.
Yeah.
I don't think Iran will do any more damage than like the shooters we have in movie theaters and churches and like
the
if you just let poor white people go, we'll do this. rights to ourselves. We got, you know what I mean?
That sounds un-American, sir. Don't worry about what the fuck we be doing.
I was listening to this podcast about this the other day. They had this like security expert on, and they're like, yeah, he's like, yeah, we're not gonna be going into World War III. He's like, unless you're, you know, in like Times Square, New York, I wouldn't worry about this. And I'm literally going through Times Square and I'm listening to this. I'm like, God damn it, man. Yeah, I don't know. It'd become World War III if Russia gets pulled into it somehow.
Russia is pulled into it. Iran, China, and Russia have been doing joint naval exercises, which is the scariest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Sounds kind of sexy to me.
Russia's not.
What kind of aquatic exercises?
Becoming fishmen.
I mean, are they going to get Trump out of... Do y'all even vote? You can't even vote here, can you?
As citizens, we can, but as non-citizens, we can't. Correct.
Correct.
Okay.
was that correct? Was that
you feel saved by that, or?
You know, as a Canadian, we're all Canadians in general.
Did you also vote for Justin Trudeau, who just got back in?
Correct.
That brown face, black face, huh? What about that, Canada? Your own shit's a mess.
You guys just want to have something on Canada, right? You guys just want to find something.
The only thing
on
that
it.
Made me mad at you Justin know, for doing that he was such a hot black dude. He would take all my pussy. I was outraged.
We as Canadians, we could just turn the lights off in New York. You know, the electricity runs through. We could just turn the lights off, shut you guys down.
Y'all be the new Iran, though. You don't want that.
Y'all have no paper. Yeah, we keep all of our wood. We
can Canadian cultural sites.
So Canada's so you voted for Canadian prime minister, right. But you don't vote in the States.
Not as yet, correct.
But you darn, you know, it affects your life, and you are like part of this debate.
Most of my friends think, what are you doing out there? Why are you still out there?
Come back in
the U.S. Oh, okay. No, my friends in Canada.
In Canada,
yeah,
too.
Why are you still in the U.S.?
When I was home for the holidays.
Wow. Right.
I got Canadian friends that, like, until he's out of office, we're not traveling to the U.S.
Now, as soon as you get home, if you ever go back to Canada, the first thing they do is talk about politics about you. Like, what are y'all doing down
there?
When
he first got into office, it was, like, they were just as glued as they were in the U.S.
Yeah.
Now it's calmed down a little bit, but, yeah, there was a time where that's all they talked about.
But there's a lot of nationalism going on in Canada. It's not all this motherfucker. It's definitely in Montreal and Quebec, and they're trying to change everything to French and changing all the billboard signs to take the English off. So there's a lot of that
forever.
Shit. Yeah, I think it's more of that going on in Canada than it is in America.
That's been going on forever. Cause that's actually why I left my parents left Montreal.
Ah. That's
been going on for a long time.
Do you speak French?
Je parle français, oui.
C'est bon.
These bilingual blacks bug me.
Oh my God. That is so un-American.
You're cloud unilinguals, right?
Boy, it bugs me.
Mais je t'adore.
But your parents left there because they felt discrimination?
At the time, yeah. It was French first. I mean, how are you supposed to, you know, help your kids with your homework? Mm. Same thing in the schools. So eventually they said, let's go to Ottawa, which is bilingual.
And in France, you can't really be French in France unless you're French. They don't call anybody else French. Like, you can't be African French.
Yeah,
they don't look at
they're
like
very
that.
Particular. I mean, it,
and that's not Montreal.
I'm happy to say. They said my accent was good. So I was in, yeah. Yeah. But they're very, very particular.
It's a good house, Negro.
That's right. All our cousins had to go.
They accepted me.
But they won't let you know. Or they just won't even speak to you. So
I have a question. Are there Canadians that you know who like Trump? Like, you
of
go
course.
Back? Yeah, you think so?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course.
Do
you have friends that like him?
Well, I'm 6'3", black man with dreadlocks. I don't think a lot of them are going to tell me that face to face. But there's a few. I'm sure
online they would.
Online. But yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, Canadians, like, I grew up in Canada, in Ottawa. I grew up in government housing, but it was like we were the only black family, one of the only few black families in there. So it was mostly like white, kind of redneck.
And governor, yeah.
So
was it like an episode of Trailer Park Boys?
Kind of thing. So it was, you know.
Canadian.
So those people that there, I'm sure there, a lot of them probably were pro-Trump. So
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's like is that considered the sticks out there? Or is that like in a city where you
No,
grew
in
up?
A city. I grew up in the city.
Okay.
Actually, Ottawa's the capital of Canada. It's like
yeah,
the,
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alex Trebek won't let us forget.
You're deep. That's good. That's where we can bring that together. Yeah. He went to my school. He went to the same school.
There you go. Yeah. I know my shit.
You know your shit.
Canadian
black man,
there.
I'm impressed. I don't think less than 1% of the black people in this country know that. Put
Thank
that together. You read a book or two. Yeah.
That is I know the Trebeks.
Out here reading more books than Trump, man.
So what high school was this that you went to?
I went Good Times at Ridgemont High.
Ridgemont?
Yeah, Ridgemont High
School. And how big is the school?
Probably about 800 people.
And how many black out of the 800?
Our basketball team. There was a few.
They were good.
No, no, university. We went to university. I went to University of Ottawa. He went to University of Ottawa as well.
Oh, okay.
We weren't. We didn't graduate the same year.
Now, did you go to the prom? Did you boycott?
He's looking at it like, was he in your class?
Was he a good?
I was taking back your smart card.
He had to say for himself.
Was he a good kisser? Did you go to your prom, or did you avoid it like she did, like boycotted like the black students at her school?
No, I wasn't. No, I went to my prom.
Okay, let's slow it down now. Who you go with? You went with a little white tasty. Didn't you?
I had a little pink toes, yeah.
Yeah! Pink toes. You hear that? Pink toes and pink everything else, goddamn. Hello. How your parents feel about that?
Listen, let's keep it real. There's no...
I know your parents there. I'm sure your parents in Canada was like fine with it, but your parents back... I mean, your family back home was like this. What a blood. What in a blood, scunt? how do you feel about it?
I'll tell you this. I mean, for all Canadians listening to this show, and I'm sure they may not say, they can all agree that there is no black man that's lived in Canada 10 plus years that never had a little pink toes.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Gotta get a little pink toes up there when you're in pink toe capital.
And I've been in America 20 years. How much pink toes do you think I had in America?
Some.
None.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. You see that? Yeah. Isn't that
zero toe? You got had any Latino toes?
Nigga? Brown. You said brown.
So you that's okay. All right. Asian toes?
You want to go through the whole profile?
I've got a lot of toes over here.
It's race wars.
I know.
It's race wars.
We need the information.
You got amputees.
You get like you're ready to go to Canada.
And plus, have you never spent time in Toronto? Toronto is pretty much like New York. It's like a mix of all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I lived there for 4 years. Loved it. Yeah.
Okay.
Loved it.
But when you were growing like in high school, did Toronto feel like a million miles away?
It's a 3-hour drive. It was like that big city. A lot of Toronto people, the Torontonians, I guess they call themselves, they think they're New Yorkers in Toronto. So they're all like...
Torontonians?
That's ignorant.
It sounds like an R&B band.
Yeah. So you can't tell them, the real Toronto, like they're diehard. You can't tell them like their life is different than New Yorkers. They think they're in fast-paced city.
So
everything
ignorant.
That New York right. is, okay. they are. Why go to New York when Toronto has it all? Our real estate is going up. Our buildings are tall. The Raptors are here. The Leafs are here. So you can't tell someone that's living in Toronto like... They ain't got nothing. New York has nothing on us.
Yeah, they think they all that, don't they?
They absolutely
I can see that, though. It's a big international city, right? I mean, it's...
It's the biggest city in Canada.
Yeah, and in general, it's a big cultural center, right?
But it is Toronto,
what's
so...
up?
Yeah, being the biggest city in Canada is like being the tallest midget.
You guys have
you
no...
More things
even in 2020, anyway. Americans have no respect for Canadians.
None.
We don't.
Your Tom Green did that. Your Tom Green, that's what you have.
You are deep.
He went to my high school. Wow.
He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of the show.
Why? Yeah. Why do Americans not have respect for
you? I thought it changed by now. You guys still feel the same way. I remember my first job when I worked here, and I mentioned I was from Canada, and we were just having normal conversations. I even made a simple comment that, you know, growing up in Canada, I really never saw any roaches in my house. Oh my God. They're like, go back to Canada. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? Can't leave. And the blacks, the whites, all of them were like teamed together. It was like Team America. I was outcasted from my group. The Asians were getting in. They were doing their calculations like, send him back. And I'm like, yo, I we didn't have any roaches
That's
in Canada.
That's right. The roach capital of the world. And don't you forget it. I'm
like, why
roachy
are you here?
And proud.
We got a common enemy, nigga, Canada.
That's the only time we all get along. Yeah. Hating on you guys. Yeah, if it came down to it, do you think black people in Canada would be with black people in America, or do you think it would be America versus Canada? Like, if it came down to a real fight, who would band to what?
Let me see if I get your question.
Just curious.
Good job, Lance.
Let me see if I get your question.
He's trying to bring black people up.
Race wars.
Yeah, for real.
Would it be racial or national?
So let me see if I'm understanding your question right.
Yeah.
Because when I first came here just on an exchange, and I thought I was going to come to New York and it's going to be kumbaya because all black people are all black people.
Nope.
But then I found out Americans don't always see the Caribbean people as on the same level.
And plus, the Caribbeans also come over here with their nose up in the air. We're lazy lima beans.
We're lazy lima beans. One job, lazy.
crazy.
That's not true.
Oh, yes, that's actually true. Yes. So it's always been, and even with Africans too. I always say I got beef with Africans.
Yeah.
We never heard of a rescue attempt. They know we was taken. They never even tried. I mean, you ain't got to come get us, nigga, but you know we here. Try to get us, motherfucker.
So let me ask you a question. Fail. If the boat pulled up on the Hudson River, are you getting on it?
I would have. If they'd be like this.
Now, today, brother.
I would get on it.
You ain't getting on that. Ghana got big cities just like Canada.
Don't try to plan it.
On that boat.
I would get on the boat.
No way.
I would get on the boat.
You get on the wooden boat?
How do you think we got here in the first place?
First class seating?
I got on the boat on this coming this way, so I would get on it going that way.
2 days on that boat.
Oh, it ain't going to be a good trip.
It's a little boat you got to squeeze up in. You getting up on that boat?
I'll get up on the boat.
No, you're not.
Everybody knows
you. Why? You could say anything on a podcast,
I would
you?
Say, give me free. Give me free.
You would just say anything.
Yes, I'll get on that boat. These sons of bitches trying to back me in a corner.
Ask your listeners to call, say if the black people that are listening, please let us know if you get on that boat.
No, because they're going to try to send us. I ain't got to leave now because all my grandparents, we built this motherfucker. So now I got stock in this country. Stock in it. Mm. We built it. Lance, say something.
Race wars.
Canada gets a pass, too. That's why we got a lot of beef with Canadians in America. Because, first of all, y'all fought in every war we fought in. You got better health care. Nobody's burning your flag all around the globe. Fuck you.
They do love our passports, don't they?
Yeah. I fake I'm Canadian when I'm in some countries, when they're looking too brown.
Oh, I can
looking
see
at
that.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, where you from? I'm like this. Toronto. Go Drake.
It's actually a little bit cool to be Canadian now. Like, when everything that happened with Trump.
So many
people came to me looking at
crazy.
Me like,
guess we have
you're
different definitions
Canada.
Of cool.
Yeah. I can dust my passport off
but
and show it proudly.
The truth is, the black people don't get blamed for Trump in America.
No.
That's the last people they blame. Nobody comes up to a black dude like this. You see what you did? That right. Trump, handle that. Right. That's your boy. Nobody does that. So we don't get the blame for that. They ain't our dog. That's a neighbor's dog.
Why are you looking at me?
Get your dog.
Don't look at me when you say that.
You think all well? You're so maybe white people are getting blamed. Do you think it's a certain kind of white person? Do you think it's a rich white people? Do you think it's really poor white people?
I think it's both.
Or you think it's just all white people?
It's all white people.
It's all white people.
It goes across the gamut because they try to put it on like
it's not
poor,
all white
but it
people.
Ain't all poor white people who voted for Trump, and it ain't all men. A lot of women, white women, voted for that motherfucker against Hillary.
You won that demographic.
Yeah. Fucking white ate women. The one.
You cut out New York and California, and cut out the coast. Everyone else, all
that's who it,
I think that the stereotype or the brush stroke would be middle of the rest of the world, the rest of the country.
Yeah, people call it flyover, but nigga, that's called America.
Yeah. Here's my question for you, Karen. I mean, I always get mixed reviews. How do the Jews feel about Trump?
Jim?
Yeah. So
speak for all of them right now.
I'll speak. I will
some
speak
are pro.
Are you an Israelite Jew? Or are you like one of the which kind of?
Well,
Jew
I'm
are
an
you?
Israeli Jew. I was born in Israel.
Israel. Oh, so you're
so
straight from the factory Jew. We call it. Still got Jew smell. Smell like rain and rent money.
So your brother was part of the army. Your family did serve and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Jews are a little bit of a mixed bag because Jews tend to be
conservative. Yeah, definitely.
Sort of, but they tend to focus a lot on Israel when they vote, and part of that is that the Holocaust just recently happened, like 2 seconds ago, and we all just remember
it's
it
like
constantly.
Yesterday to me.
Every second of the day when people are like, oh, but it was a while ago. No, it wasn't. It just happened. It literally just happened.
Karen, we all know that it never happened. Continue. Continue with your fantasy.
But the way my parents feel. So I didn't vote for Trump because I'm from here. Like, I couldn't do it. I didn't want to and couldn't.
We got a long history
but,
up in New York.
My parents did, and their reasoning, and they're Israeli, and their reasoning was that while they don't agree with him about everything, they see Israel as this like barometer, like this canary in the coal mine issue. So if you're pro-Israel, you're probably going to align with them on this, and that, right? You're going to be like, I don't know, liberal enough in the way that they care about and care about certain freedoms that they care about, because to them, Israel represents a whole bunch of stuff. And the way that the world or an individual sees Israel is like, speaks to someone's deep character. Do you know what I mean? It's not just about America. It's about like, it's like a soul thing for them.
I call it my second home. People People know that about me. I grew up in Haifa, right off the beach. People know.
You're so ignorant. So yeah, that's how the Jews feel about Trump. They're divided. So it's like the younger demographic that lives that's more coastal.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Right.
The older generation.
Yes.
A little bit more Trump leaning because he's so pro-Israel.
There's a lot of fights at Hanukkah this year. Yeah. Last year because the young ones and old ones don't agree on those.
Yeah,
politics.
we don't talk about it. It's. Why do that?
Oh, I'll say this. Believe it, I went to Hebrew school actually when I was in Canada.
No, you didn't.
I did. I swear to God.
Really?
Yeah. Let's go.
Because my
you're
gonna laugh why I went because there was they used to have a bingo in the synagogue every week or whatever, and then during the bingo my mom would bring me and then there would be Hebrew class, and it was like you're not really learning Hebrew, it's like an after school program, so you're learning different things after school.
Right.
But you know one thing I learned too.
Your mother's addiction to gambling.
It's
a genius. And it's so liberal. You're a 6'3" West Indian Black Canadian who went to Hebrew school. You might be the most interesting person.
Do you know how many deals that got me once I mentioned that? They're opening up. Really? See your eyes. You were like,
the most American thing about you is what you said. That is so American to me. Randomly popping into a Hebrew school.
Yeah, it was after school. It was after school program, homework. And the thing I learned is that, you know, Israel is surrounded by enemies, so they have to latch on
like
to somebody that's
going
to protect them. When you think about it, everywhere they go, like you can just drive to Canada, you can just drive to Mexico. To leave Israel, you have to fly, and you fly over enemies. So that mindset, I understand. Like when you really think about that, like that you're surrounded by enemies and you can't just get in your car and drive across
poor
the border.
Things. Oh, poor babies.
I'm not defending. I'm just making a point. I'm making a geographical reference point.
You know who can't fly in Israel? Everybody else.
Shut the fuck up.
The Palestinians can't get on a plane. They can't get on a plane at all.
I mean, you know what happens to a plane?
They want to go to Miami? You want to go to Disney World? You can't go to no Disney World.
No, they cannot. That's
you
right.
You can't go to no Disney World.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Bad stuff.
I guess. Well, Israel's also the only country in that region that doesn't have the option of ever losing a war. Israel can never lose a war. No. If another country, which they have because they fought wars, if an Arab country loses a war, they've lost a war. If Israel loses a war,
it's
they stop existing.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, so they don't have the option. So people are like, why is it so important that da-da-da? Because it's this big in a sea of enemies, and every other thing is like a weird backwards aggressive dictatorship that doesn't like us.
Well, you know, like Karen, when you got beachfront property, you got to protect it. That's the way of the world.
Have you seen the
That's
beach?
How the world works.
You're not
Coney
wrong.
Island, they'll kick ass. Coney Island. Whoop your ass right there, Coney Island.
This show's hilarious.
When you said that there's like an age divide with older Jewish people, with the Black community, it's like Biden. Like old Black folks love Biden. Like my mother-in-law was just talking about Biden's the one who can win, right?
But he's like the first white deacon at your grandmama's church. They're like, Brother Biden, he one of us. He make a good macaroni and cheese.
He does look like that.
He's comforting to old Black eyes.
So if Biden wins, can Barack be vice president?
No, he wouldn't want to be.
I'm just questioning. What if it could be. Technically, that would just screw everybody up, right?
I mean,
is that
would just change the game.
I think he could be.
I don't think he could be.
Imagine he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Why not?
No.
Why is everything else you're liberal? You're open to. You're just like no.
First of all, Biden would have to be elected. He's no.
And he's also done because he like has some. He's like what would you say? Maybe like Jordan. He cemented his. I was the man.
But you don't know. You don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, want to get back. You don't know the brotherhood. Like, I got your back. Kenny just like, Biden, you win. I got your back.
Obama.
He doesn't have a wizard season.
There it is.
Yeah. You don't pick the mic back up after you dropped it. That defeats the whole point. Yes. You leave it on the floor.
Jordan came back. That's what I'm saying. Like,
Not to victories. I mean, only to on his same team. But that was a different thing. He came back on the wins and it wasn't. Why would Obama do that to his history?
It'd be like Beyonce going on tour backing up Kelly. Like, okay, like that's not happening.
Not
like,
Obama got out pretty clean.
Maybe Michelle, but not Kelly. If it's a gospel album.
Being president is the second best thing that ever happened to Barack Obama. The first best thing is no longer being president.
Yes.
The best thing that ever happened to him. Exactly. Yeah, he's got it made.
He's out.
Why would he fuck that up?
Why would he fuck it up?
He got his boy. He has his back.
But being president sucks.
First of all, Biden's not his boy. Ain't like they hung out before he was his vice president. That ain't his nigga. That was just put together.
Barack Obama is Biden's Black friend. That is exactly. Mm. It feels like every time he ever talks about anything he's doing, Biden's mm-hmm. like, "Well, you know, when I was vice president with Barack yeah. Obama." You're like, "Yeah, cool, man. That's awesome that you were the great dancer and an awesome hip hop." But you're done now. I just don't. By the way, I want to point out before we move on. That's not just. I think Karen. That's not just how like the Jews feel about Donald Trump. I think that's my dad. How my dad feels about Donald Trump. Yeah, so like old Protestant white dudes also feel like. Yeah. What about Israel?
Yeah.
Which is the only time I've ever heard my dad say that.
Yeah, when he's trying to.
Why is your dad?
He's trying to justify why he likes Trump. That's why.
But why does your dad care about Israel at all? If he's not Jewish.
Is he Christian? If he's Christian, yeah, he's Christian. About it too. Yeah. Because all these like mega churches, they have trips yeah. every fucking 2 weeks yeah. to Israel.
It's
like,
crazy.
It's
how
a
much
fucking union.
Nobody loves Israel more than evangelical Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Mm.
Because that's Jesus' neighborhood. Yeah. We gotta keep Jesus' neighborhood.
It gives them like legit cover to keep supporting him. Like, oh, this is a justifiable reason.
That's exactly. I think like, and it's funny because I feel like that the reason that evangelical Christians love Israel so much is because they need it to exist in order for the apocalypse to happen. Like that's this everything
that's
that
is your problem, Brendan.
That's a real
yes,
temple
they
of
need
doom
it for the apocalypse. Shut the fuck up. Here's the thing. When Jews hear that, we're like, yes, of course, the apocalypse. Please, you're gonna need that, aren't you? we're totally cool with that reasoning. Yeah, but you know what? I read that like most of the money that evangelicals sent to Israel goes to like just the extreme religious. Like it actually just causes mad problems.
Oh yeah, it goes to the ones
to
who want
to
make it. Yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
which is like not. And if you talk to most Israelis,
they're not circular.
They're not
secular.
Super
not secular
that.
People.
Yeah, no, right,
I would like to speak as a Southern guy here. well, you're talking about
race wars, please.
You're talking about
the Jewish.
You're talking about religious or like fundamental, like Christian, Protestant, whatever. Like
we are.
A lot of that is the South. And there's the South is still very stuck on the Civil War a lot. So I didn't learn a lot
get
about
over itself.
Even now, I don't know much about the Middle East because you don't learn it. They're so concerned with the Civil. At least where I went to school, the Civil War was there. It's like people are still trying to fight that thing. The Middle East to everybody, right. or I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people in the South. It's just like we don't know much about it. Right. So it's like which like Middle East. It's like and so we don't even think like we don't get involved even think about it. If that makes sense.
I'm trying to picture your world. So let me ask you a couple pop questions here. You had a pickup truck?
A lot of my friends did, yes. Ford F-150s, Chevy.
Same in my car, I got country fucking family. Yeah. I got so much family.
I drove a pickup truck and
I'm just asking.
Where are you going?
Was it a Confederate flag at your high school or anything like that?
We call that the freedom flag. What do you want?
Well, what was the state flag of Georgia for a while? Didn't they change it at some point?
Really?
First of all, they don't call it the Civil War down there. They call it the War of Northern Aggression.
Yeah, the War of Northern Aggression.
You guys do. We just say so. We it's just like
we don't say the War of Northern Aggression.
Historically, no one uses either of these terms really. It's just like the South will rise.
Yeah.
What are they still upset at? Like, what's their argument? Like, they're still planning on rising. They're still planning.
Well, how about this? Now maybe say something.
What are they upset about? It's a nigga in our high school. What are we upset? It's a nigga in our high school.
I'll dump.
How are we gonna make the basketball team this year?
I'll dump on the South a little bit. There are some great things about the South, right? There are.
No question about it. Love the South.
But
love.
Let's just go education-wise as a whole. Okay. Where in America, where are the best colleges?
The North.
Northeast.
Or East.
California. Out West. In the South, you got Emory, you got Georgia Tech, you got Vanderbilt, you got Rice University, you got Washington University in St.
Duke.
Louis.
Baylor.
Duke.
Yeah. So, and there's some other liberal arts schools as well. Yeah. They're very. Where are the Tulane. Majority of awesome schools? Yale. Princeton. Harvard, Stanford,
NYU, don't forget
NYU, like all Columbia,
Michigan,
they're all up.
Morgan State,
you guys are just haters.
So this, you asked me why the South maybe still because even education wise, we're not, and that trickles down to high schools, trickles down to middle schools. Yeah. So that's that'll be an answer.
Plus, it's like I think you know people.
That.
You
that was
know,
a great answer.
Sherman,
Lise.
Thank you. I feel like Sherman's march. Sherman destroyed the South. Like Sherman's army burnt the South to the ground with the March to the
South.
South
was asking
Atlanta,
for
Savannah.
It. They
Atlanta,
were so
Savannah.
Stubborn and rude. The South just spent so many years being rude to us and. We had put our foot down and we're like, no, fair. South, this is how it goes. And you guys were like, no, we'll rise or whatever you people say. Yeah. And we just weren't feeling it. So we had to Sherman you. Sorry.
But see, you guys talk about this Sherman War. I don't even know much about it.
I don't either.
Because you see what I'm saying to you guys, it's like maybe something you learn. We just learned that the South is the best.
Oh, you don't learn that.
You just learned the South is awesome and we're the best, even though we're not.
Is is that why there's so much confusion over these like statues and stuff? Because you're like, yeah, we're the statue, best.
No, the
like,
statues came 100 years later to keep, make sure that blacks were oppressed and felt oppressed in the South.
Yeah, yeah,
but is that why
they came 100 years after the war?
Because I feel like, yeah, but is that why it's confusing?
The South stays rude.
This is why I think race and cultural things is such BS, because look, we've come together in so many different groups. We were black, then we were north, then we were Jews, then we were this. It's
so
like,
we all
jumping sides.
And
then we're Canadian. First it was Canadians. It's like,
Shiraz,
that's why you're gonna show that we all got little shades. We all got little fucking subcultures of ourselves.
And everybody was jumping all around this whole conversation. Yeah. We're all looking at you like,
that's because
you're on your own over here.
Let's get back to the Jews. Anyway.
As I was saying on behalf of all Jews.
Give me the president of Jews.
Speaking, who is this?
Oh, anti-Semitic fucking attacks on the rise in New York City.
Here's my question.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Why? What is the deal with that? So I understand back in the day when Jews all looked like super Jew. I don't understand.
What's
a strong
a super
word,
Jew look? I want to know what
somebody send in my landlord.
Despite the uniform, what's a super Jew look?
A super Jew
I want to know what it is. So I think we all know what it is. We all want to see what it is.
You didn't know what it is.
Let her explain it.
I'll tell you. Okay, here's my only understanding of anti-Semitism, because I pass, right? Like, no one looks at me and goes, that's a Jew. I'm a huge Jew, but no one thinks
that's
that.
Why we need t-shirts.
No one thinks that. Right, that's why those little yellow stars had a point. everyone loves a sticker. But so I live in South Williamsburg, right? And I literally, it's my apartment, which is sick and I love it. And my apartment, every single other apartment for blocks and blocks, every single one, mine's right in the middle of the block, is Orthodox Hasidic Jew. So upstairs neighbors,
that's Jews
side
with black
neighbors.
Belts. That's the black belt of Jews.
So,
yeah, that's the Bruce Lee of Jews, bro.
Wait, so how'd you get that apartment?
It's somebody's family apartment.
Wow.
It's just like
no,
the super cute family.
You spoke Hebrew for that.
Put it on the mic.
Spoke Hebrew. They knew.
Not
you
owned by Jews.
Parents were.
Oh, it's not owned by Jews.
Owned apartment. By brown people.
All My Jews is my favorite.
Owned by brown people.
All My Jews is the best.
Wait, so that building is owned by brown people? I know they got offered so much money to get the fuck out of there.
The apartment is owned by brown people. The other apartment is owned by Jews. So they own their own property. So you can't gentrify a Jewish neighborhood because they own the buildings, right? But this apartment is owned by this really sweet Hispanic family, and I rent from them. It's an amazing, amazing apartment.
They're going to get them out of there.
They've been trying for years. They'll come up, apparently. So I just moved in. I'm like the new roommate. I've only been there a few months. But apparently, the Jews will come around and knock on the door every once in a while and be like, we will give you cash if you leave right now. Yeah. Like, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. It's probably worth a lot of money now.
Oh, no question about it.
It's a sick apartment. Yeah, it's great. But the point being this, I'm surrounded by a sea of unfriendly Jews, right?
They hate her. They look down on her.
They don't know that I'm Jewish. If they knew I was Jewish, it'd probably be worse.
Be
because
worse.
I'm not doing the Jewish thing.
Wow,
you can see
worse.
My hair and my elbows. And
you
stuff.
Whore!
Right.
You whore!
I'm breaking their laws that are that umbrella me, right? And
meanwhile, they're covered all up. Their husband's staring at your old ass bouncing through summertime. Yeah, they don't want you around there.
You want me to not bounce? You want me to not bounce?
It's
summertime.
The wives do not want her in that neighborhood.
I bounce, okay?
They chase her with their wigs.
Listen, when it's bouncing time, it's bouncing time. So back off. But the point is this, they're rude. Not horrible, but they are rude. Like, they don't say hi, they're not neighborly, you know, like their kids are
cute. Are there any that you're cool with?
No. Well, here's the thing. I'm a girl, so they don't interact with me. The women don't interact with me, and the men sure as shit don't interact with me. Once in a while, one of my male roommates will interact with someone, like a male Jew, on the street or in a store. I never get interacted with. Like, the women never do. So I think one woman talked to me once in a supermarket once because it was like her stroller or something, and nobody knew whose kid it was. Something like that. Yeah. I've never interacted with them.
After she's finished talking to you, she spit on the ground.
But it's it's weird and uncomfortable. And I'm like, and I tolerate it, right? Like, not like, what am I going to do, right?
Yeah.
Tolerate it is like a strong word, but like, okay, fine. Like, do what you're going to do. And I live in your neighborhood, but it is uncomfortable. And if I weren't Jewish and didn't understand it,
it would feel
it
racist.
It might be offensive. It might actually hurt my feelings.
You ever feel scared?
Not scared, but I have...
What?
When I used to live
in
Borough
being
Park,
so...
it would sometimes rise to the level of disrespect, and
sometimes they'll throw bottles.
They never
stuff.
Threw anything at me, but they were just like rude. Like, I knew
bottles?
That I'd be talked about, and like it's weird. It's a weird feeling. So I get why someone might have a vague distaste for Jews if that's all they knew of the Jewish community, and they just knew. And by the way, they're rude to each other too. Like, it's not just like like they push each other in line.
They're like the Chinese people of Jews.
Kind of, But if that's your only experience of Jews. You might feel weird about Jews, but that's not most people. That's not their experience of Jews. Like it's someone like me, so I don't understand anti-Semitism. I really don't. I'm like, but you know, it's me, right? And you know me. So what is the big deal here?
So where I had a Jewish great uncle back in Detroit in Southfield. There's a whole Jewish community, and all the Jews I knew all had the best houses. Like they had arcade games and pools, and it was just. I was like, goddamn, mom and dad, how come we can't be Jewish? And they're like, sorry, my mom's vagina wasn't Jewish. So.
Yeah, and your God's gonna give you what your God gives you, boy.
Well, I have a question. No, I was just gonna say I actually had a really great experience with Hasidic Jews, interestingly enough, or Orthodox Jews working in fashion.
Oh yeah!
By the way, they keep the fashion business alive.
No question about it. I have a lot of friends.
With every bar mitzvah and everything else, but fabrics. These women are business owners, right? They own the boutiques,
right? Mm-hmm.
And they weren't coming in cherry picking an outfit here and there. They would buy a line of products, so they really actually make that fashion business go around.
No question.
But good. I had a good experience, I'm sure it's rare. So not too many people get a glimpse of that.
There's a difference between neighborhood Jews and business Jews also. So the business Jews who interact with the public know how to be. But these are people, I live with among people who are in their neighborhood, only interacting with other Jews, only going to Jewish businesses. Like, you know, I've also had really positive interactions with like the outreach Jews. You know what I mean? Like the campus Jews at NYU or whatever who are meant to like do classes and stuff. Like they're actually the best. And actually when I met one of the rabbis, I was like, what? Why don't I do this? Like, besides the obvious, like, kind of misogyny, like, what? There is something kind of appealing. It's like a club that accepts you as long as you accept them, you know? But yeah, the Jew Jews, the ones in the neighborhood, are like much harder to deal with.
One of my dream businesses, I want to open up a store either in Crown Heights or Williamsburg that just sells like Jewish apparel with an all black staff.
They wouldn't come in there.
They wouldn't buy it from you.
They wouldn't go in there.
I'm going to discount it. I'm going to make it cheaper than everybody
else. Because it has to... It has to adhere to a biblical, like certain biblical standards. So the rabbi has to bless it and stuff.
Yeah, they get all that done.
They won't. You can't.
It ain't gonna happen.
You can't. Yeah.
You know them selling anything?
This is why people hate the Jews.
Would you go to a West Indian restaurant run by all Jewish guys?
Huh?
No. Would you go to a West Indian restaurant with all white Jews?
I go to a black beauty bar shop owned by all Koreans.
Oh, that's different. Koreans What's do the all difference? Black about the shit.
No, you're just used to seeing
it. Don't try to throw precise. Koreans in there. Koreans are the fucking
race wars. I can put it out.
Vehicle occupation.
I'm doing it. If I don't sell them, I'm gonna videotape. I'm gonna have a great show.
I can't wait to hear the podcast.
I have a question.
It's a history with black Koreans and black beauty.
What's the history?
That they are in it, nigga. They know where to get the hair that the black chicks want. So we gotta get Asian hair. They bring it, and that's what. Yeah, they run that.
Wait, Lance Weiss.
They got an end. They got an end because they got the hair. But one day we'll get something.
this might be a very ignorant question.
I love ignorant questions.
So you're saying that it wouldn't happen, like they wouldn't do it. Let's say he happens to have $100 million and he gets it done because
What do you mean he gets it done?
What if I'm the owner and I just have all staff?
He has so much money.
Like you're still taking money away from their community.
What if I'm the owner and the whole staff is Hasidic and I'm just a guy on top coming down to collect
the
money?
But the guy on top, that's the problem. I mean, you've met Jews, right?
What am I just selling? The blue suits, the white shirts inside, and the hats.
Look, it sounds like a great deal. They're not coming in there.
It's not about that. It's about keeping everything in the community. They only marry each other. They only go to their own schools. They speak a whole different language.
Is there enough money he could throw if he was just as a social experiment? He has $500 million. He's like, I'm gonna run this thing. Basically, almost give the merchandise away for like pennies.
That's an interesting question because you don't know how hard Jews get off on saying no to other people.
Right.
They get off so hard. Okay. Like my parents are Israeli Jews. They're not Orthodox Hasidic Jews, but that's its own almost kind of orthodoxy. Do you know what I mean? And they get off so hard. Like for example, like I love Christmas like in a kind of secular way. Like I love it. I get off on like doing Christmas
bad
stuff.
Jew.
They take it off just as hard.
I'm saying no.
I'm a good American.
Take
I'm an American.
Just, take it off just
take
as hard.
It just as hard on not doing it. Like not a leaf in our home. Like, don't even give. Don't give me
seen,
anything.
Haven't you seen even, Jewish porn? It's like Jasmine St. Clair is going to be in here. It's like eight Jews saying no to her.
Jews love being
and a spill
separate.
Everywhere. Absolutely not. Oh my God.
Jews take a lot of pride in not being like other people and being visibly apart from other people. Even the Jews that pass or whatever, like, still we'll set ourselves apart in some way and be proud of it.
Question for you. Do you ever see that Killer Mike episode where he tried to be black, everything, do everything black?
Oh yeah.
Like
Drive a car. He couldn't.
Right. Yeah. But for the Jewish community, the Hasidic, like, are there things that you have to, I mean, there's got to be some parts where you have to, like, go do business and buy stuff from outside.
Not everybody. They have people who do it. Yeah, there are people who do it. But there are some people who grow up in that community and go their whole lives and don't ever have to interact with someone who's not in that community, especially the women and, you know.
Plus, there's some Jews that'd be like, you know, the Germans did bad, but Mercedes-Benz is a Mercedes-Benz.
No, true story.
Mercedes-Benz, Mercedes-Benz.
I mean, Mercedes-Benz doesn't seat 12, so it's out of the question.
True story. Like, I used to buy and sell a lot of buildings, and I was selling. A Hasidic came by to look at a building of mine, and I was just having general conversation, and I mentioned, you know, I'm going to the Caribbean. They had no idea what the Caribbean was, where it was.
Wow.
And this is in New York. They had no, they were clueless of the Caribbean.
What?
Dude, they're like me from the South with Middle East.
Those are your people, East.
What? A grown person about to buy a building in New York, he didn't know what a Caribbean was?
He's
a fucking idiot.
Yeah, they sent they're reading it to Ron. They were clueless.
Why would a religious Jew need to know where the Caribbean is?
They're not going.
It's on Earth.
Why do they care?
Maybe you want to go on a vacation sometime?
They wouldn't. What would there be to eat? Nothing's kosher.
Listen, a lot of times I'll look up vacation spots. I ain't never going to go.
They don't have internet. You're so ignorant. Right.
None of them have it. None of them got internet. How did he find out about the building?
TVs.
How did he find out the subway to take to the building?
There was two of them, by the way, and they had no idea. And even for them to even look for it, the rabbi had to come and see the building and so forth. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's a special kind of dumb.
And that's why when I looked at real estate, honestly, not to be offensive, anytime I saw Hasidic selling a building, I just walked away. Because if it's leaving their community, it must be something that they don't want. They've sold it throughout their community. It must be a pile of crap. So anytime I saw that, I just was like, nah, it's not a good
thing. How a grown person.
That's a really
interaction,
good tip, though.
Don't know what it. Like, never heard of the Caribbean? Like, didn't know that it.
Never. Like, what's Caribbean? That was his word. What's Caribbean?
Then he didn't know heard of Jamaica or. Come on, man.
I swear to God.
But he was ready to buy a building?
Karen understands.
They're
just reading the Old Testament all the time.
It's because
really
they don't. It's because Karen, because they don't want
it. If they don't want it, it's gonna be a pile of shit.
It's because they don't got the rabies shots.
What are you on? What on earth are you talking about? Because
they don't get
honestly, this is Race Wars, and that is even offensive.
That's perfect. They don't give a kid vaccinate the kids.
I don't know if they do or don't.
Yes, Brent, let us.
Yeah, come on in.
Yes.
Yay.
Come join the fun.
Thank you.
Introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, I'm Jasmine St. Clair.
Hi, Jasmine. I'm Karen. Nice to meet you.
Hi, thank you for coming, Jasmine. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me here. Hi.
Yes.
Now tell everybody what you do, Jasmine.
What do I do? Okay, well, I'm an actor. I also am at Second City right now. I just graduated the conservatory.
Okay, so you're doing comedy stuff.
No, I'm not. I have a one-woman show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just, it's not comedy.
No.
Is that here in Chicago?
Well, it's at the one in Hollywood, actually.
Okay,
so I'm looking to have it as like a tour at some point. People always think comedy. I'm sure there are funny moments.
Well, we're comedians, so that's the first thing we're going to think.
There's always something funny in it, I'm sure, for someone when they hear it. Maybe I just don't see it as funny because I do the story for 5 hours every day on my own.
Right.
So it's like you get very tired of it. I was in pro wrestling before.
Cool.
ECW wrestling.
That's right, yeah.
I was in the adult film business for like 2 years in the 90s. And then
2 years? That's in and out.
23 years ago. No pun intended, right?
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Depends on what scene you're doing.
I did it for 3 summers. So
for 3 summers? Really?
Summers.
Wow. Don't even
gotta
listen
eat,
to that. I know. Stop it.
So how was that? Did you do the pro wrestling before? After.
No, I was in the adult business, if that's what you want to call it. just porn. Like, I hate when people try to romanticize it. It's freaking porn movies, and that's what it is.
That's what I masturbate to.
I would hope so. So from 96.
I don't call it cinema.
to like, yeah, no, no, for like 2.5 years.
I call it noir.
I don't even call it noir. That's like kidding, an insult. I don't. Why would I? You know, then I went into pro wrestling 1999 to 2004.
Nice.
Then I
that's
went.
Any injuries? From yeah. either one, porn or
no, not from porn.
That's like I threw my back out one of those.
That is when you get heartbroken or some shit.
My
no.
lower lumbar region tricked out on me.
Did it? You poor thing.
Don't get a nigga.
I'm looking in case anybody's wondering.
Then yeah, then after that I went. I was working on MTV in Brazil and Norway.
Now, was the wrestling thing like the diva? Because I watched the Total Diva show.
Well, yeah, I was actually trained by an original GLOW wrestler.
Okay, yes.
But I was used in ECW obviously as a manager because of my size, so I'd get put through a table now and again. It's like no big deal.
We still talk about wrestling, right?
Of course, yes. Yeah.
I mean, the boy likes what he likes now.
No, that's like 23 years ago, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now, where'd you grow up? You grew up where?
New York City.
Born and raised in New York?
I was born in the St. Croix.
Oh, more
Island
people.
We're talking about Jamaica before, but yeah, we're not from Jamaica.
I got some West Indians over here.
Oh, I love roti. When I was just back in St. Croix, it's like all I wanted was West Indian food, like the dal, the rice, the roti, everything. It's amazing.
Hey, how'd I get to be the only white guy on this thing?
Are you sure you're
just
white?
Like that?
Well, I don't know.
So then you were born there, then you grew up in New York.
Yeah.
What borough?
Manhattan. I lived in Brooklyn briefly in Midwood.
Okay, did you have high school in New York?
Yeah, in Manhattan.
What school?
I went to Brooklyn Friends School first, and I went to Friends. Anglo-American and McBurney.
Okay, why so many schools? You a fighter? You was in there fighting?
No, that was
girls
until
were trying
later.
To jump you?
No.
You're trying to take somebody's boyfriend? They ran after you?
No, I didn't do that till I was in my 30s, so.
Okay.
No, I just, you know, when you go, I was in Friends for most of my academic career. Then when I left, I tried two other schools.
Use this mic.
So I was in Friends till like ninth grade. I'm like, well, what else is there? I had friends at McBurney, so I went there. Then I went to Anglo-American after. Then I
Anglo-American?
Went back to Friends.
What the name alone, I'm questioning shit.
Yeah. It was...
Is it as white as it sounds?
Actually, yes, it was. Okay. It was extremely Caucasian. Nothing significant happened there. I just didn't care for it. I didn't like the way that they did things.
Was
so
it
I
a
just,
Catholic type
No, of? It was not Catholic, but they did have a dress code. I was sent home once for having like double seam jeans. I'm like, okay, so I'm home now. I'm just going to stay home. Like, how does this reflect like how I learn anything? So,
double seam?
That seems extra protective.
I just, exactly. Yes, thank you. Hey, those were like my Sassoon jeans back then. Do not make fun of my Sassoon or Jordache, please. Okay. So I stayed home. Then I had a Cannibal Corpse t-shirt on once or some kind of weird shirt. And then they had a problem with that because it had like a severed head. It's like, okay, whatever.
Is that a band?
Yeah. So it was some death metal shirt I had on probably them. So, it was an Iron Maiden shirt. They had a problem with that.
Were you drinking and stuff back in school?
Never, no.
All right.
What about I never messed with any of that shit.
Lance, when you start drinking stuff, stealing
drinking?
Your father's stuff.
What were you drinking?
I had my first beer on my 21st birthday.
Really?
Yeah, I had a Bud Light on my 21st birthday.
I started drinking until like 26. Like 25, 26.
I drank a 25.
You what?
I drank a 25. I had my first glass
at
of 25. Wine. Yeah.
Oh, so I wasn't.
I started late too.
Usually I'm the latest one in the group.
Like I was a dork, and even in college, just in a circle, dance with my friends.
Well, things never change. You know what I mean?
Well, wait, how old are you now? Like you look like 25.
I'm 36.
Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He moisturizes. Anywho.
With what?
Hello. Movie title.
Exactly. We're trying.
So 2 years you did adult films.
Yeah.
And how was that experience? How was your first experience? Was it an uncomfortable one scene? Was it cold? Were your nipples hard?
Yes.
How old are you?
Me?
No, then, at the time.
Oh, I was 20. No, it's not rude, actually. I will be 50 this year.
Nice.
Wow. I was just talking about the time. I'll
still give it to you. I mean,
really?
What?
Oh,
I thought everybody was shouting stuff
so
out of
it. You would? I don't know. How old are you?
46.
You're too old for me. I mean, the cutoff is 27. Yeah.
27?
You said 27?
27
she likes a fumbler.
Years old is the cutoff.
Wow,
yeah.
Really? Why is that?
She likes a nice fumbler.
I mean...
You're a teacher? You like to
they're
teach?
They're cute.
Wait, did you just ask if I was 27?
I said 25.
Cut, my brother. I have a girlfriend if she watches.
That was good backtracking. Shut up.
You know, it's just so different. I never really grew up around that stuff. I mean, technically, if you think about it, I was on Stern back in that era when it was in its heyday.
Stern's a friend.
I was more like a catalyst in American shock culture then. So then moving all through these different careers, when this like weird subculture, that's how we came up with the title A Weird Kind of Fame, because people remember me from something. There are people that know me from wrestling or from that National Lampoon movie I did.
Okay.
Or maybe even from The Deuce last season or just anything else.
Were you an episode of The Deuce on HBO?
I worked on a few last season, the final one.
Good show, good show.
It is one of the best shows. Yeah. Then I just worked on a film with Ice-T, Mickey Rourke, then I have something else.
Now Ice-T, he's a soft drink?
I hope so. I don't know.
Joke. I can get one dad joke.
Sweet tea down where
I live.
That's
funny you said that, because someone on Twitter posted a photo of him, the Ice-T photo, then a photo of Ice Cube with a face in there. It's like, okay, that's really funny.
What'd you do? Okay, go ahead.
Then I was writing for a motorcycle magazine. I still do. And then I...
do you ride?
Yeah, I've been riding for 20-something years.
All right, stop laughing, stupid.
What's so funny? What's so
you
funny?
Son of a bitch, because he made a dick joke out of the ride. Do you ride?
Is that all you boys think about?
Yes!
Like, how do you deal with this?
She think about the same damn thing.
You just said 27 and under. What are
I'm
you
like,
thinking of?
Them,
you you refused 46, but you took 27. What are you thinking of?
No one's going to Me Too me. That's the difference.
And not Me Too the willing. That is true.
That is true.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know. I have my thoughts about that.
So what's this one woman show all about? Is stories of your life?
Yep.
You're going to be like, oh, back in my neighborhood. They have like a barbershop in the back. Mrs. McGee couldn't mind the business.
I mean, there are different changes throughout the show. Right. When I was at Second City, before I was done with the conservatory, I decided to work with one of my teachers there that I had for an improv class.
Okay.
And he's helped me put it together extremely, because I have the book written already. I just haven't published it. So then we took 200 pages, turned it into 14.
Wow.
Yeah, there's like a lot of stuff. Like you have the old version of me with like the little bangs and the old nose before it was done.
What was that bitch like?
That bitch? I don't know. Like, it's weird because people don't even talk to her.
Really?
It's the weirdest thing. It's like for 23 years, like no one even like, I think my friends from school call me Jasmine.
Hmm.
And that's not how they knew me. It's really weird.
Right.
Actually, the guy that just directed that film with Ice-T, he was one of the producers on the Gotti movie with John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
He knew me, the different version of me, because we were in McBurney, but he called me Jasmine. Hmm. I don't even think I sign credit cards with my real name on it anymore.
So do you sometimes forget who you are when you... That can happen. Just like when you're traveling a lot, you forget what town you're in. I fucking wake up like this. Cleveland, I think?
I forgot what day it is today. I was supposed to meet a friend for lunch today, and I'm like totally forgot. I'm like,
tell me about it, Jasmine. I was that friend, and it hurt.
I'm so sorry.
It
oh
hurt
my
a lot,
God.
To be honest with you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll tell you why. It was because. No.
I'm not under 27. I already know.
I know. What the hell, dude? No. So the show, I mean, it just goes into the whole journey of like starting off, you know, from being a youth. And then going to where I am now and, you know, what triggered certain events in my life. And clearly, maybe by speaking to me, you could figure this out. I don't really have the same emotional makeup as most women who've been around that business. Because most women 23 years later who've done that type of stuff, they go back to it.
Hmm. How many people think you're Italian or Puerto Rican and don't know you're coolie?
Well, like I do get described.
Coolie.
Yeah, I get described.
He's pulling
yeah. I get described as ethnically ambiguous, so I get called in for all types of roles. I speak like five languages. I do dialects. Oui, je parle français aussi. Tu parles français?
Oui.
Pourquoi tu parles français?
Canadienne.
Ah, vous êtes comédien de où en Canada, Montréal?
Montréal.
Ah, c'est
brother over there looking
là-bas.
Lost, right?
No,
like, look at that.
Don't bring it.
Yeah, you're the lingual. Look at that. You're the lingual. All these Americans. See, we separated again. All you lingual.
Every time I hear French, all I hear is flee.
Retreat. You don't speak French. You speak patois.
Oh, she put you in your black place, nigga.
Oh. Well, no, actually,
victory for the show.
Now, my mom's Brazilian, and my dad is Dutch. My grandfather's from Suriname, which is a Dutch colony.
Yeah, not a lot of Suriname.
He actually has a calypso band, or had one, I should say, called the Dutchy Brothers.
Ah,
yeah, they have music on YouTube. It was pretty cool. It's like ska and calypso. I thought he was like in the Philharmonic, which sounded really boring. I'm like, that can't be. I'm gonna go Google this completely. I'm like, oh, he was in the Dutchy Brothers, and like, there's a photo of my dad in the background, like. As a manager or something. I don't know what he was doing.
Now, Dutchy Brothers was a play off words for being Dutch and rolling up the Dutchies?
I don't know about the Dutchies. I don't think they do that, or they didn't. I don't like that type of stuff anyway.
Your father might have.
No.
Pass the Dutchie was still a Pass the Dutchie, but it was could be it? A cook pot too. So, but usually
it could be a what pot?
A cooking pot.
Well, in the Caribbean, okay, so let's say you wanted to run for Senate and you were like part Dutch or maybe from that whole ethnic background, you would use nicknames like Dutchie D or something or whatever. Yeah, you're like so adorable. How did you get this?
Go
on.
It's not a movie.
I'm listening. I don't belong here. I'm different. I'm different than the others. I'm too sweet. Yeah, I'm too sweet.
Shut up, Karen. She's an evil bastard.
Unless there's some kind of freaky shit we don't know going on.
Well, first of all, that's my daughter. So.
Yeah, okay. That's my dad.
You gotta, raise this by myself. It ain't easy. Ain't no sitcom about that shit. Just bills.
It was rewarding to raise me.
Ah, what a reward.
No, you just seem so cute, and like I just—it's these men.
Thank you for noticing.
And these men,
it's 27 plus, right?
She grabbed her brooch
these
when she said it.
Older men, but at least we're not saying middle-aged white men. Like in Hollywood, that's the biggest curse, I think.
Yeah, how many you have to flirt with?
You know, actually, I've never had to because they get very. I flirt with someone. I think they're cute, but I've never had to do that because most people that have cast me have been women.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've only dealt with one male casting agent. I don't really think he'd be...
Well, he's here now. Can we bring him out? Harvey Weinstein? Harvey Weinstein.
He'd like you more than me, probably. I'll put it to you that
Who,
way.
Harvey? He'd probably find the way...
Dude, I think... You know what?
I'm sure
Harvey is Harvey. Let me say something. Honestly, if he hit on me years ago and there was something he could have done, dude, I would have done that. I don't give a shit. That is what it is.
Right.
And you sign a contract like that, you do literally put your money where your mouth is. But I've never had to do that.
Okay, you're on one side on this one.
I am, very much so. Maybe it's the wrong side, maybe it's the right side. I don't know.
Hey,
you know?
It's your truth. Yeah.
Right.
I'm hoping Sherrod makes me big.
Who?
Me.
You're going to make him show. Big? What? Well, that could go two different ways. In which respect do you mean?
I hope he means his cock, because otherwise... What are we doing?
That's what I was saying.
You got to get the elephant out of the room.
I got no pull in the business.
Well, you see, this would be different. You can get away with this because you're an African-American male. Then you go, so you're being racist? By saying I'm doing that?
Oh, I'm definitely being racist, though. Definite. That's okay, a definite. That's no matter what the topic
we
is.
Don't do that.
No question about it.
Funny Trump's
like
all of it.
I'm concerned for her. I'm sorry.
You're concerned for Karen?
Thank you for noticing how vulnerable I am here. Surrounded by sharks.
That's how Karen gets you. She's like that sweet girl at the orphanage you take home with you. That she's trying to kill you and your kids.
Right? It's like a Lifetime movie gone bad.
I will replace you.
It's like Stockholm Syndrome here. Or like, you're right. It's like the babysitter in the Lifetime movie. She's going to go kill you.
Yeah.
Like
hand that rocks the cradle. What the fuck?
Right? Who is that? Rebecca De Mornay?
Look at you.
See, I know my thing.
So when is this one-woman play starting? I'm going to bring tomatoes. I'm going to throw it at you when you're up on stage.
I will fuck you up.
You're supposed to catch them and make a salad.
No.
That's what a performer
does. Is that it?
That's what a performer does.
You
might
do that. Salad?
That
is so wrong. Some people don't like
How's
salad.
How's he catching them?
You know, I've never... Like, we had the stage readings and some of the performances, but these are actual workshop performances in L.A. right now at Second City, January 18th, February 15th. One in March and April, but I would like to get it as a live tour. I have the hour version of it and the hour and a half.
Well, when are you going to bring it to the first city, New York City?
Whenever they want me, they could have me. That sounds so cheap, but yes, it's
true. Can I ask a porn question?
Yes.
I don't know.
What do you need?
Well, let's see. He's
oh, her or me?
No, him.
Oh, her?
No, her.
You take this one.
We'll get to you.
You take that.
No, you take it. Let's
see. We'll get to you.
No, her.
No,
she's got a dirty mind. I tell you, I can feel it from here.
Have you, like, you
I'm
know,
getting pregnant from it.
What if
yes.
there's a scene like, or someone you're just like, just totally not attracted to, and like, how do you psych yourself up for
dude,
for that?
Dude, you know what? I don't know. It's so long ago. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I was 20 something. Have you ever had? Have you been drunk before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you had sex with someone the next minute? The next morning you wake up, it's like, oh, get this bitch out of my bed. Have you done that before?
Or a guy. You don't know this guy.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah, don't assume. You're right. Don't assume.
Question.
No.
This guy's got a lot of surprises.
Categorically, no.
I mean, I've done that in real life. The next time, I'm like, oh, God. Okay, yeah. I got to get my hair done. I got to leave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just pull the most psychotic shit out and then maybe.
But when you, so did you drink on set when you
never,
did?
Never, no.
So when you sober is a whole different ball game. So if you didn't like somebody and you sober, do you ever go like this? This motherfucker. All right,
no, I knew who I was working with. Was I a bitch to some of them? Of course. I just look up my nails. You know, I got a nail appointment in like 2 hours. Can you hurry your shit up? Like my nails have got to get done.
I can still beat off to that.
Wow.
I think I'm still.
I had to think about it, but I'm like, yeah. I'll pull one out.
So rough. You're so rough.
Yeah.
And he did think about it. He took boys, it in. He envisioned the scene, that. And he was like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Boys love that. Boys love when you're a little cunty. If you're just like, that's the trap. The trap is falling in love and being like, I'm going to be the nicest person to you ever because I love you so much. But, no one respects that. No one respects that. People like a lovable cunt. You have to maintain. You have to maintain. That's yeah. Right. You never let it go.
Look at Lorena right. Bobbitt, for example. That's before your time. But I mean, she got away with it.
Cut the dick off?
Yeah.
You trying to say she's a lovable cunt?
I think so, yeah. No, all I'm saying is she got away with it. That's just very did interesting. She? Yeah, she did. She probably did Insanity or something.
Yeah.
I'd be good for an Insanity.
And then he
day.
Did porn after. I saw the porn that he did after. Ew. Yeah,
he
it looked
he
like
did
Franken.
Something like that.
It was a Franken penis. You saw the stitches in it. And wow. The top wasn't hard.
Wait,
the bottom was
stitches?
Hard.
Stitches?
Yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
The top, yeah, he got paid a lot of money for it. The top was soft. But the bottom was hard, and it was stitches in it, and it had the Frankenstein things in his neck. Yeah, it was scared of fire.
That's something I would not want to be looking at. Yeah, no.
They shot it in Ottawa.
It was weird, but you had to see it.
Okay.
It's
you
like
can
a
still pull it
wreck.
Up. You can still watch it.
Shut up, no.
Yes, you can.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Bobbitt.
Yeah, the Bobbitt cut.
John Wayne. Wow.
And he had like the, oh, no, I remember the front was him and like three girls in the front.
Were they hot?
Yeah, the hot girls.
What were they thinking?
When his dick was, you'd have to do this with his dick to crank it up. Like it's a fucking
wait dinner. For a thunderstorm.
It's a Model T.
One of those railroad things. Everybody's
up. Up on his side.
That's crazy.
Ah, it was good times. I was like fucking 16 when I saw that shit.
But you know, they're not understanding. For him to see that, he had to get a VHS tape.
Oh yeah.
And it was like, it's not like you just Google it online. Yeah. You're a freak. Like to get that video was not an easy task.
Not
right?
Only to get
you're all thinking like you just Googled, you saw it on the internet.
Oh,
no.
You
had to call somebody in your
research,
high school.
You had to get a bag in the
person.
Woods.
Guy
search through other shit that was wet.
But he's the right age to have a VHS tape.
Yeah, 16. That guy was exploring things that needed to be explored.
Something was wrong with you then.
No, something was right with me then.
This man wants to travel the countries. He wants to see all the films.
I wanted to see what a motherfucking dick that got ran over by a railroad car. Then she threw it out the window too.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was
it.
In a field.
Yeah.
And then a search dog had a had to wrestle it from that little nigga.
That is savage.
And they still put it inside
she's
a woman's vagina.
Well, here's the thing.
After
like,
all that.
Allegedly, she said
no
her
condom.
Friend at the nail salon told her, like, what to say. Uh-huh. So I think she was really psychotic.
You think?
Yeah.
She cut his penis off and thought I'd move a car
window. I mean, I think she
now.
Knew about it long before because it's very methodological. Yes. Yeah, and then a dog.
Car?
Yeah.
He was asleep.
That is ice cold savagery.
Well, he
was
asleep.
She came over there, bent his dick over, cut it, ran out, got in the car, drove, said, what am I going to do with this dick? Threw it out the window in the field. The cops have to search for it. This is true shit.
Yeah, but there's a crazier case in Anaheim, California.
Crazier.
3 years ago. There was a woman that did
go
the
ahead,
same
two dicks
thing.
Whoa, talk slower and in French. What happened?
Il y avait un homme. Il y avait cette fille in Anaheim, California.
Yeah.
There's a woman there. And she took her husband's penis after she cut it off and she put it in a blender. But she actually had to go to jail for that shit.
Actually had to?
I know.
She should be under the jail, nigga. What do you think? She should open a motherfucking Pinkberry?
She went to jail. She didn't know how to do, she didn't know how to pull the whole insanity I was abused thing. Ooh. So she just got off on it.
Did she drink
cold-blooded.
It?
No, she called the police for
so
herself.
So you can
after.
Sever a penis with just cause in your eyes.
That would have had to been a Vitamix.
Eyes,
why are you thinking about that for? What did men do to you?
Nothing. Yeah. It just looked better, though. I know. I think that's completely psychotic, yeah.
Unless it's like Hitler's dick, I guess. Huh, guys? We can all agree on one dick to cut.
Soleimani's?
Just to play both sides?
So we're going to blend a dick.
You can find it, you can cut it.
Well, imagine you're watching it in the blender happening. Like, you're the guy seeing it in the blender.
Oh.
Like, I mean, that's the worst part of it. Cutting it is, but seeing it in the blender.
And like, not realizing yet that it's your dick like this. I'm hurting down him. What, you making a shake? Let me have that shake run me to the emergency room.
Yeah. Is it vegan?
Oh. No.
Jesus, guys.
I mean, any kind of mutilation like that is just wrong. I don't care who you are, right?
Oh, you're so brave.
If, like,
oh,
a dude,
thank you
if
for
a
taking a stand on mutilation. I'm against mutilation, panel. Race wars.
But because she's smiling. Like, what if a dude cut off a titty and blended it up? Then would you be into that?
I would kill him. I would murder him.
So, why is not the same way? You smiling every time you say Lorena Bobbitt's name.
Was it a blender or a food processor?
It was a blender. Yeah. Okay. No, I saw the special finally. But I met John Wayne Bobbitt years later. I was in Vegas at a show, at a regular show, and I met him. He was working for his brother's moving company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it called? No Dick Movers?
I don't think he was. Yeah, no. That's interesting. Yeah.
We move faster because we don't have the weight of a dick.
I don't know about that. But yeah, so getting back to the show. Yeah, so.
Have you ever been married?
Sure.
Don't say sure. Nigga, who answers like that?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I was.
What happened with him? Did he die of natural causes?
He passed 27.
No, actually, he lives in his parents' basement in Seattle.
Okay, so far, man.
He didn't want to have a job, and I got sick of that.
Was he in a band?
Love that for him.
Yeah, he got fired for being an alcoholic. I didn't know he had a problem, and he should have been in AA.
Okay.
And I got sick of him, so I just got rid of him.
Okay, so he was living in his parents' basement when you met him?
No, he was not. That's after I dumped him.
Oh. Yeah. Was he in a band or something? What was he?
What made you say that?
Seattle.
Oh, grunge. That's so interesting. No, not grunge. He was in a metal band that was actually really great.
Boom. Drummer?
No.
Lead singer? Bass?
No.
He's so wrong.
Steve?
No.
I'm trying to see who you was banging.
Banging? No, I was dating him. I was just banging.
And married. You was married to him.
Right. I was banging him after I dated him, yes, while we were dating.
Well, that's usually how it works.
Usually it's the other way around with most girls.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, we met through a friend. I thought he was cool. I dated him. And
how long was the marriage?
A year.
You had great sex and then you realized he was a loser.
Yes, yeah, thank you. Yes.
And you got married how long after meeting him?
6 months.
Wow.
Why so quick?
Because she was on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, that dick was fire, Reese.
No, exactly, his 27th birthday was 6 months away.
Actually, he was 28. So,
he got old.
I stepped out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Gray pubic hair, right?
You paid for it.
Oh, yes. No, actually, you got to give things like a chance in life, I guess. And it's like, all right, well, that's fine. But his mother got on my nerves. So she's like Googling, well, I just saw this. I'm like, but just go back and go make a blueberry pie.
She was looking up your porn?
After, and he already knew this. He didn't have a problem. So she was doing this. She's like a Washington housewife, like in Snohomish, Washington, where they probably eat wood and bark and stuff like that with a bad haircut. And
Ted Bundy did what he could over there.
I know, seriously. He tried.
So she hated charming. You. The mother hated you, and she was pulling up porn stuff to him, and he already knew about the porn stuff.
Well, yeah, but he met me through like an MTV gig. That's how, because we were interviewing him for something, and then he knew, he didn't give a shit. It was the mom, because she was bored. I mean, she was a Washington housewife. What do they do with their day? They don't get their nails or hair done. They don't read anything.
Shots fired.
Shots. Yes. So yeah, that was the end of that.
You ever see yourself getting married again?
Sure.
All
right. Like, I mean, Charles Manson did it, so I mean.
Oh, shoot.
Everyone has a chance.
That is so true.
I know.
How did you make that comparison?
Because he's like the worst human being, I think. Or
everybody has a go-to person that proves that you can be loved.
He's a serial killer. Okay,
yeah. He's the worst person. We had 12 presidents who owned slaves, but Charles Manson's the worst.
I think he was. Yeah.
He didn't do nothing to black people. Well, he didn't do one thing to us. So
we could walk right by him in the middle of the night. Hey, Charles. Hey, what's up?
What's up, Chuck? You call him Chuck.
Where are you going? What's up, Chuck?
Chuck, you got them girls coming around later? He always had bitches.
I don't want to be an accomplice.
With a swastika. Yeah. I mean, I guess
he always had bitches down for everything.
That he did. Yes.
It is funny how we give a pass to people in power, right? Big banks, government people are like, you can mutilate thousands of people. Like, it's business.
Yeah,
you know,
if you can write it off in your fucking morals. But you know,
why are you married?
No.
Have you been?
No, love didn't come my way. I'm afraid. You just dribble and shoot and hope for the best. It's a lot like sports.
You gotta get a ball first.
Yeah, that's right.
Or some balls, a pair of balls.
Whoa, guys. Don't shame me. This is a safe place, and you know that. So how long are you in New York?
I'm here until the 11th.
Okay, what's today?
Today is Wednesday the 8th.
Yeah.
Saturday, yes. And then I go back, and then I have-
Back to LA?
Rehearsals.
To that fucking cesspool.
You know, it is the devil's play. Yeah, it is the devil's playground for sure. You just have to know how to play in it.
More than New York?
Yeah. I'd say it's an even flip.
Because you can be out of the public eye getting into a lot of dirty dirts. Because shit's closed at 2 o'clock, so you still doing shit, but it's usually at somebody's house.
Okay, I see, yes.
You got motherfuckers coming over. You got your boy bringing
it's okay, it's okay.
Are you kind of reminiscing right now?
Like, he had a bad...
Bring that product, baby. Bring that product through the hills, nigga.
It's like first-hand experience? Is that
I lived a life. I'm not going to lie to you, Jasmine. Okay. That 3 years of porn, those 30 summers, really.
Really?
Yeah.
It's how you do things, I guess, you know, and like if you just, I kind of just keep to myself. I just do my own thing. I have things I have to do. I got to do my rehearsal. I have this to do. I get up pretty early, usually like at 6 a.m.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You do Pilates, yoga, something like that?
I do not like yoga, and I like Pilates sometimes. It's just there are a lot of douchebags in those classes.
I agree. That's why I do charades.
Do you?
It's just mostly masturbation.
Okay, well, see, that explains everything.
No, I do charades classes.
You'll definitely get the bounce when we're leaving the fish.
I go to the gym usually or whatever. Just do emails and stuff in the morning.
Nice. So what's going on? They have a great podcast, by the way.
Who's they?
These guys right here. They have.
You guys are so adorable. You look like podcasters, yeah.
And what do podcasters look like?
You know, not yet for not ready for prime time players, like the early SNLs. That's what we all look like. But this is like a financial advice show, right?
Yeah, two black guys with good credit.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Two black guys with good credit. Yes, it is. Yes.
That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's your credit score?
Everybody asks my personal business like that.
I am. You said you have good credit. What is it?
Last time I checked, it was about 810, I think it was.
That sounds really good.
I don't even know what that means. It sounds amazing.
It's 900, yeah. 900, right?
850.
850. And what's yours?
Mine's 977.
Seven. You're a liar. Well, 810, that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In Canada, you get a pass.
So what do you do, like give financial advice to people?
Yeah, well, we do a show and we give financial advice and talk about different financial things, yeah.
All and things finance with a barbershop. Like it's
share the mic, selfish.
As opposed to like a stiff, you know,
like guys in the blazer. Like, yeah.
But yeah, it's basically casually discussing financial topics.
Right.
All things finance.
It's not like a hard, a strenuous. It's not like a throbbing, like a veiny throbbing class of.
Like stuff we wouldn't understand, you mean?
Well, we try to make it relatable to you so you can understand and make it in simple terms, not simple terms, just terms that everybody can relate to and kind of leave with something actionable. When everybody should be leave our episode, we try to make there's an actionable thing that you can do, that you can change in your whatever you do. To
some might say it's even a gangbang of knowledge that's going on.
You just said it.
Crazy, yes.
Well, and I'm the lady with the facts.
Yes.
That's good. I can see that.
So I keep
yes.
the boys in check.
It's like the Robin Givens.
Yeah.
They're smart people. We just met them, and they're really smart.
Robin Quivers.
Where'd you meet them?
Just now. I just met them now. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, sir. Go ahead.
Robin Quivers.
Well, Karen is a connection with us, so Karen actually attended one of our classes.
Did you?
Yeah. So
I told my white daughter to get out there and get some black knowledge.
I needed some black knowledge. My boyfriend at the time was also now currently my boyfriend, but we broke up in the interim. He had discovered the podcast because someone he knew was on it, sent me an episode, and then we like looked it up and saw that there was this class, and we were like, we should go. We made plans to go. Then shit the fan, we broke up
again,
and he showed up, by the way,
and I showed up, and then he showed up the week later, which is I think the week that we had planned to go.
Crying
I went a different
on my
week,
shoulder
and I went
English
the week
stairs.
Before
Boo,
because
English stairs.
I needed some black knowledge and yes. I didn't
what, email
and I didn't want to what's that.
Okay, joke's gone.
Okay.
So for any black man that attended that event that you attend, there was a glimpse of opportunity there, right? There was a little glimpse of opportunity. There was a small window, right? He's laughing like, I hope he's not listening. There was a small window. Then Matt came the next week and corrected it. He was like, hey, I'm the boss here.
That English bum, he's a bum.
So we love the podcast and we love you guys. And then me and Matt were at a party, at James Altucher's party.
Oh, yeah.
Honoring, it was like a holiday party, but also honoring, like, what was it, the borough president of Brooklyn or something?
Adams.
Yeah, Eric Adams. Yeah. And then
Eric
Matt
owed
knew,
me some money too.
Matt knew he brought
dollars,
you,
dollars.
Sean, up to Eric because he remembered seeing you in the news with some, like, a racist plane. And so we didn't even get to the racist plane.
Oh, yeah, what happened on a plane? Somebody was racist against you on a JetBlue or something? Stop looking shocked.
You
what
got kicked
there?
Off a plane.
We, yeah, what we just.
It's wild.
They do their research.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we just filed a lawsuit, so I guess I don't know
why
how much I can.
It was like racist. Yeah. Wait, yeah, so what happened, yeah, what Sean?
I wish my lawyer was here right now to make sure I say all the right things, but I'll just say what happened. Basically, I was boarding a flight back from to JFK from Barbados.
How dare you, you black bastard. I got it.
And I am
boarding like the rest of the white people.
What zone?
I think I was zone 3.
Okay.
So I was going to my seat, which was 18 aisle D, and I noticed there was like 2 young children sitting beside me, which were like, you know, and then their parents were like running up and down the aisle looking somewhere to put their luggage, right? And everybody on the flight was kind of, well, in my area, I can only speak on that behalf, was kind of like annoyed, like, when are they going to kind of put their stuff? When they were actually upset because they were disappointed that the overhead space wasn't available for them.
Right. Mm. I do hate that when I get on and somebody already used my stuff, I just take it right out, throw it on the floor. And then I yell Al-Qaeda. Nobody calls. Don't bother. Yeah, don't bother. I go ahead.
So then they finally were able, the flight attendant was helping them able to put their luggage away.
Right.
And then the father came. So if you understand planes, there's 2 3-seaters, 3 seats here, the aisle, and another 3 there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The father came, took the son that was sitting in the middle and put him over to sit with his mom on the other side.
Right.
And then he sat here and the other son sat by the window.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then a few minutes later, the flight attendant came to them and said, oh, we're going to move you up to extra legroom seating. And all, you know, the flight was 95% African American. Now, I'll say politically correct since we're, you know,
right.
So, you know, can't say black,
the
but African American.
The people on the flight.
People on the flight. And we were just looking at each other like, what just happened? Because, in our opinion, my opinion,
so this
per
was
se,
a white family?
Yeah. You
and what's the steward
you
person?
Admit, how could you make the seating arrangement better when there's a family of 4? I get a family of 3 because this happened to me with my 2 sons. They'll put us all to sit together. But if you're a family of 4, father and son are sitting here and wife and son are sitting the other side, how are you bettering their situation?
Right. Yeah.
So that's when I said, you know, I chose my words very carefully. I said, I just, you know, excuse me, why did you move them up front? Mm-hmm. I didn't.
What color called? Is the steward person?
That was my last question.
She was white.
Yeah. Okay.
She was like Spanish, Hispanic, white. And I was like, why did you move them up front? And she said, none of your business.
Oh. Wow. Did you get it on tape at all? So
I did get it on video. So then I didn't say anything. I just
she
sat
said,
there.
None of your business.
Yeah. Okay. Took it in. Well, and then a few minutes later, one of the flight people that worked the flight, he actually runs, like he doesn't work, he works for JetBlue, but he doesn't work on the plane. He's one of the ground crew that kind of gets off after.
Right.
He saw what happened. He came up to me and he said, sir, would you like to move to extra legroom yourself?
Oh, cool.
And I said, exactly. Like, see, even the white guy knows. Yeah. Oh, cool. Like, who's going to say no to that? Yeah. So I was like, cool, no problem. I stood up. Then everybody applauded for him for what he did.
Right.
I moved up to the front to seat 1C. And I stretched my legs out. And then before you know it, the same flight attendant ran forward and it's like, what is he doing here? Why do you have him sitting here? Send him back to his seat. He's not supposed to be here. How can he be here?
Put him back.
Let him sit back where he's supposed to sit. He's not sitting here. We're not rewarding this behavior. And, you know, I just sat there. I didn't say anything. And then a few minutes later, I stood up. They brought the big black security guy now to me.
They had already told you could sit next to
him. And I said, exactly. And I said, you know, I said to him, I didn't ask to come sit here.
Yeah.
I was offered to sit here. I didn't ask. I was in my seat. I was cool. You know, and I didn't ask to be here. So now I'm here and you're telling me to go back there. And I said, can I speak to the captain? He said, no, you can't speak to the captain. And so I spoke loudly. That's the only time I spoke loud. I said, well, you know, this doesn't reflect good on JetBlue's brand. Like, you know, everybody on the plane saw me go to the front, saw everybody clap, and now you're sending me to the back.
Tell
how is that going to look?
What day it was.
Mother of King Day?
No.
Calm down, Brother Lance.
Calm down. He's getting
Brother
too black
Lance,
right now. He's like,
Lance.
Hey, Martin Luther King Day.
No, was it Juneteenth?
It was Thanksgiving, so I was trying to get home to my kids, actually.
Wow.
So then the security guy, black guy, said, you know, if you don't go back to your seat, we're going to call the police and escort you off the plane.
Oh, God.
So
Jesus Christ.
Put my, you know, pride down aside and, you know, and I went back to my seat 18C and sat down, put my overhead luggage there.
Okay.
And then I saw the same flight attendant coming towards me from 50 feet away. I was like, oh, well, she's, you know, in my Canadian black mind, she's got to apologize. And she's going to put me back up front, you know. And she basically got down on one knee, started patting me on my leg, and asked me if I'm going to behave myself like
oh my gosh.
Did you get that on tape as well?
Yeah. So then I was like, you know, my question, you know, there's a certain level of pride. I'm not going to be like, yes, yes, master, I'm going to behave myself. I said, why would you ask me that question? You know, why would you ask me that? I said, I'm an educated man. Why would I not behave myself? And then she ran to the front. And then
she was just
next thing
for
I know,
something.
Somebody came to me like the same security. I say, you know, we're removing you from the flight.
Jeez.
And then the people around, that's when I started taping. And the people around, I asked them, did I do anything wrong? They were all saying, no, he did nothing wrong. And I didn't ask her anything. And then even when the black air flight attendant, the lady, she was like, let me go speak to the pilot. At that point, she spoke to him, came back, and she said, there's nothing I can do.
It's like, get out the cockpit, Shirley.
Well, that's like assault. Racist
shit.
You must be a lawyer. That's all, yeah. So we filed. We actually filed a lawsuit just last Friday against JetBlue.
Good for you.
So you can get out. You got out the next day, the day after Thanksgiving.
Right. So, and then the funny thing is.
So you missed it?
Oh.
You missed the holiday?
So the irony of the whole thing is, too, that they then gave me the same seat that they kicked me out of. To fly back.
Wow.
So
that's so that you wouldn't do a lawsuit. Yeah, they're like, well, you got the seat.
Exactly. Yeah, but then I reached out to my friend. Yeah. Well, they even asked me $100 voucher, and I was like, no,
yeah, just, yeah. They were, yeah.
And so my theory was when I was kicked off the plane, the flight was a 4-hour flight. I said, I want to make sure, you know, I reach out to many people I have in my circles. I reached out to Eric Adams, explained to him when I was in Barbados, and he was like, nah, this can't happen. Reached out to other people. Then within a week, I had a full media press, NBC, CBS, ABC.
Nice. That's how you get them.
Cool. All of them there.
So how much money you think we going to win? We going to get.
I got you. I got you. Even the pickup brother from Georgia, I got you.
Where's your lawyer? Because it's really weird. I'm just bringing this up because I had the same issue with American Airlines the night of Christmas, and I started tweeting about it, and they called me because the guy called me the N-word. I was
called
sitting
you.
In,
yeah, neighbor? Well, he said neighbor?
No, actually, I was sitting in business class, and there's a woman next to me with her kid. I first start watching, like, Jaws on the screen.
Right.
Well, can you just turn that off because that's not appropriate? I'm like, then just, you know, rip your eyeballs out or just keep ahead and just watch your own screen. Don't tell me what I can or can't watch, lady.
On your screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
It was in business.
White privilege.
But here's the thing. The guy was...
Don't look at me.
Her husband, was sitting in coach. So my question is, why is it someone in coach could keep crossing over to business over and over? And I had my headset on and they're making this huge commotion. So I just looked. You turn your effing head the other way. But I'm like, excuse me? I said, I'm just wondering what's going on because you guys are like being really noisy. You effing and whatever. I'm not going to say
flight?
That. Yeah, on the flight.
The dude said it. He said it all
day. He said it to me. So then I'm getting like a small glimpse of it on my phone. So he takes off. Finally, the attendant came over. They had this dumb girl who like never worked business. I'm like pressing the call button for like 5-10 minutes. Finally, she comes over. I'm like, is it okay for someone to be crossing over to coach over here? Well, he didn't do anything and blah blah blah. She puts her like cankles up so I couldn't get past with her
love
screaming kid. Yeah. So finally another guy comes over, is a Latin American guy. He said to the man, yeah, you can't keep crossing over from coach to business class.
Right.
So I said, it's not the point. He just called me a racist term. I said, you know, my mother is half black. Did you know that? I said, I take offense to this. So I took her seat number down. My friend works for an airline and I told him what was going on. So I went ahead and filed a complaint with the DOT.
We did that, right.
And
initially
then the FAA has one. And now American called me. The guy was some redneck from Texas. Well, I just have to say, you know, that's not very right of you to call her a stewardess. I'm like, dude, don't try to gaslight me. Right. I said, you have a problem with your staff that didn't do anything. And how is it a guy is able to cross coach like that so many times? That's a liability. That means anyone can do it. Yeah. And then they're allowed to talk to me like that. I've been a millionaire tier member for over 10 years now. Well, ma'am, I just have to apologize to you from American Airlines. I'm like, that's not good enough. So I'm like, going forward, so DOT has a complaint, FAA. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have the footage. So I tweeted it at American Airlines. Wow. And they're like, oh, that's just sad. Could you DM us? Yeah, I DM'd you, bitch. It's like, what are you going to do? You're not doing anything.
Oh.
So it's on. It is on, and I am ready to go full for like.
Who
full
knew
force.
It was so much sweet racism?
But on
Christmas in the skies
Day,
above us.
Christmas Day is a weird thing, so it's right around the holidays. People get like this, and the girl who they had working business didn't even know where, you know, where 10F is. It's like you should know where our seats are located at this point. At one point, you had someone else waiting for like a knife to cut their steak, and they're like, with the call button. She had no clue about anything.
Because she was working at fucking, you know, CVS a week before.
Probably,
you know,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then DOT emailed me back, and they have an official case open against American. I hope they find them.
Did you refer to her as a stewardess?
Yeah, I did.
Don't worry about that. Karen is worse. I can't take on a plane. She called them sky whores.
They are sky whores.
Let's call them a bunch of sky whores.
The sky whores, whatever.
Can't take on the plane. Yeah. Can't take them.
Well,
nowhere.
I told the guy taking the complaint. I said she's a glorified waitress. She's just in the air carrying shit. She didn't even know how to put on a life vest during the demonstration.
Oh,
I,
no.
So I guess not someone I'd feel safe around. Mm.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I say Miss Sky Whore. Raised correct.
You're right. Miss, you're right. Right.
Madame Sky Whore.
Show some respect, goddammit.
Ma'am Sky Whore. Hello.
Yeah. But the DOT does take this stuff seriously. So
they do. They responded.
I've been in contact with the case manager.
Yeah. The most shocking thing, honestly, too, was when JetBlue's position that they would actually, they blatantly just lied. They said he was being loud. And he didn't want to pay for his upgrade.
What? You?
I'm like,
he's Canadian.
Wow.
You're like quiet though. I could totally
and
tell.
Canadian's
you're in
Canadian.
Finance. What the hell?
Jeff
you're
Blue
married, man.
Remember when they broke a man's face because
United?
What did he do?
He didn't want to get off.
Why?
Of the, yeah, it was a dentist or a retired doctor. It was an Asian guy in United Airlines.
Asian dude,
They inverted his face for some reason. It was fucking brutal. I don't care what that guy did. Like. Short of actually threatening to blow a plane up, that's the only thing that gets my sympathy on an air. On an
that
airline.
Was scary.
That was so.
What if he was under doing chirotides?
Maybe.
You know when you hear the story and you're like, oh, you know, I don't know, I wasn't there, whatever. And then when you see the footage and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ, what could have excused that?
Yeah.
There's no laws in the sky that protect you. It's like the opposite of the land.
Yeah.
The laws are all for the airplane and 0% for you.
I agree. When you can push around an Asian man like that, you know something's going horribly wrong.
He was elderly, too. He was like 60-something.
Unless it's Hong Kong and you're a protester.
It was really sad. Like, he's crying on the plane. Let me go.
Everybody's freaking out.
Yeah.
And you would think JetBlue would behave better, you know, being on... by people of color.
Wait, what?
It's blue,
what?
Right?
They're
blue.
Yes. Like
the color's blue, Karen. That seems like the show. This is a good episode.
Yeah, these are real race wars for sure in the sky to boot.
Let's do some pluggy plugs. You want to plug your show? Let
me
plug
on. So the show's called A Weird Kind of Fame. And those of you listening in the L.A. area, it's at Second City Hollywood, January 18th, 10 to 11 p.m., February 15th. Or you just look it up on Twitter, A Weird Kind of
the
Fame.
The day after Valentine's Day, huh?
No. They're on Saturday night, so that's great. Yeah. At Second City, so that's a good stage
good
time. So I'm excited. And, you know, join me on a journey through my life.
Yeah, that's a Saturday night, I think.
It's
ain't
a Saturday, baby.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
I'm excited. You could miss SNL for it, so.
Yes. Lanzo, pluggos?
I have my own podcast I just started. It's called the Party with Lance podcast.
Nice.
So if you're trying to keep this party going.
That's it?
I can smell the cocaine at that party.
Yeah.
Boo. No, congrats.
Yeah, partywithlance.com.
When are me and my white daughter coming on?
I've had no guests so far. It's been just me yelling alone.
So that's no confirm on my...
Okay, you're not invited, brother.
I'll get you guys on if you want to do
hard
it.
No?
No, eventually.
I got a soft no now. If you want to do it.
I'm only 7 episodes in. It's just
we
me for
it.
A half hour or so.
We get
so,
it.
But okay. If you guys want to do it, eventually I think I'm going to have guests. I'm trying to go as long as I can with no guests.
Okay.
And no listeners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pluggy plugs.
Well, definitely listen to Two Black Guys with Good Credit.
Yes, you have to.
Apple, Stitcher, Spotify. I mean, you can find us.
Yes.
Like I said, Two Black Guys with Good Credit. Follow me on Instagram if you choose to. S. Linda, what am I? Sean Al. What am I? S. Oh, let's rewind this.
And
S. Linda, financially clean.
Financially clean.
Yes.
Can I hashtag JetBlue?
Ditto. Two Black Guys with Good Credit. Tune in. And the Lakers are going to win the season. West Coast.
Okay, there you go. They got the best record in the West.
Shots.
They got the best
Raptors.
Record in
the
they got the best record in the NBA.
Yo, if you want to check me out, go to, I got two podcasts I'm going to plug. One is here The Madness Continues, which is my podcast. And I just launched one exploring comedy around the planet called Funny Planet.
Nice.
You were talking about no comedy in Africa earlier. We just talked to the most popular, successful black female African comedian on
a
first
Tuesday
episode.
Gina Yashara.
No, Tumi Marake.
Oh, Tumi Marake.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
From Comedians of the World. First black African woman to get a Netflix special. We just had her on the pod.
Yeah, it was a real sad day when the first white African woman got one. 3 weeks before Tumi. The white man, the devil.
White man.
Thanks
is
for coming on.
The devil.
White daughter.
I'm on Instagram, Karen Margolis, KE.
KarenMargoles, and I'm on Twitter, Karen Kardashian, and I'm going to be on Two Black Guys Look at Credit.
So excited.
Oh my God, it's like meeting Beyonce. I'm so excited. Yeah, so tune into that. Yeah, so really, this has been a really good collab, guys.
A really good collab.
Been a fire collab.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate all you guys. It was a great episode. Don't forget Small World Comedy this holiday. MLK holiday weekend show at the Stand. It's me, Nikki Glaser, Keith Robinson, Cypher Sam's going to DJ it. We got Yamanika Saunders, Sam J, Dan Natterman, and Greer Barnes. That's Sunday, January 19th, 8 o'clock p.m. show, 10 p.m. show. Get the tickets at thestand.com. Yeah, that's MLK weekend. It's going to be, this is what Dr. King wanted. It's a nice, diverse crew. Yeah, Greer Barnes, Dan Natterman, Sam J, Yamanika Saunders, Cypher Sounds, Keith Robinson, Nikki Glaser, and yours truly. January 19th, go to The Stand Comedy, NewYorkCity.com.
TheStandNYC.com.
That's what I said. That's what I said about her. All that NYU pain's coming off. It's paying off now.
Everybody have fun. You're paying it off now.
That was a blast.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Everybody had a good time?
Are we still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording, Lance.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it was great. I got one of my this is one of my bucket lists that I got done. I always wanted to do a stand-up comedian in a comedy show. So technically I'm in a comedy club, right?
Yeah.
I said a couple jokes, right?
Yeah, we booed.
Check off bucket list.
Done.
Peace, race wars.
Race wars.